Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The most unique show in sports.
Sorry for hating. No, I'm not. I love being a hater when it comes to winning money.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
The New York Football Giants. Imagine a world where an NFL team, think about this, scores 32 points, doesn't allow a point until the fourth quarter, and loses. Losers lose. I'm going to say something crazy. The Indianapolis Colts are the second best team in the AFC. If you told me that the Colts in January were going on the road to Buffalo, I'd bet Indianapolis, and I wouldn't think twice about it.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, terrific Football Tuesday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube, on Twitch, on radio stations nationwide. We are in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment. Talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up on the show, we will unfortunately recap Game 7 of the American League Championship Series with Femi's Seattle Mariners, my Seattle Mariners, our Seattle Mariners. It's like if you had to title the game with two words, you'd have two alternate titles. The first title would be Springer Dinger, and the second title would be Womp Womp. Bizardo? Really? Over Munoz? Really? Can we drug test Dan Wilson after the fact? I don't know what that was from the Mariners last night. The Mariners lose. The Toronto Blue Jays win their first pennant since 1993. And we got the Dodgers and the Blue Jays in the World Series. We will talk about Seattle's loss. We will praise Toronto. And we will spin it forward to the World Series starting, I don't know, about 6 weeks from now. It feels like Game 1 coming up on Friday north of the border. So we'll give you our initial thoughts on the World Series with the Dodgers opening as a pretty big favorite. Four phenomenal guests join us today on this terrific Football Tuesday. Odyssey Sports NFL insider Mark Schlereth will take a spin around the NFL with our friend Mark Schlereth. Jim Bowden will join us from CBS Sports, MLB Network Radio, and The Athletic. We'll get Jim's thoughts on the World Series, who's going to win World Series MVP, how many games is it going to go, who's going to win, etc. with the great Jim Bowden. Our pal Matt Moore stomps by, and you know it's basketball season because Matt Moore is back on You Better You Bet. Matt Moore of the Action Network, Buckets Podcast, Locked On NBA. We'll get Matt's takes on both of tonight's games in the association as the NBA season starts tonight, and who Matt thinks is going to win the NBA championship. And the whale capper Drew Dinsick of NBC Sports stops by as well. His best bets, week 8 in the NFL. Time flies when you're having fun. Final hour, Power Hour, will feature all our bets for tonight in the world of sports, the National Hockey League, and our bets for the NBA season opening doubleheader. The reigning defending champion, Oklahoma City Thunder, hosting the Houston Rockets, and the Rockets are not starting a point guard. It is the tallest starting lineup in the history of the NBA, what the Rockets will roll out there tonight against the Thunder team without J-Dub. No Jalen Williams tonight for the Thunder. OKC, a 6.5-point home favorite. And our bets for the Lakers and the Warriors in Los Angeles. No LeBron James for the Lakers as he deals with sciatica. Doctor said he needs a bacchiotomy. The Warriors, road favorites at the Lake Show. How are we betting the side? How are we betting the total? What about props? We'll talk about all of it and give you our bets at the end of the show. Today's social question. Type the answer in on YouTube. Type it in on Twitch. YouTube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. What is your best NBA bet? Either for tonight's doubleheader or your favorite season-long NBA bet. This can be a win total, a division future, a player future, MVP, NBA champion, Eastern Conference champion, Western Conference champion, or a bet for the Thunder and the Rockets, or the Lakers and the Warriors. Type it in on YouTube, type it in on Twitch. Bill Zimmerman will read the responses at the end of the show, and our video producer, Mike Brown, will put your name in lights, whatever that means. Your name will be on the You Better You Bet screen. We officially begin Terrific Football Tuesday edition of You Better You Bet with last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader. Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. Believe it or not, Nick Kostos stayed up for the entirety of Texan Seahawks. I can't really believe it either. In a related story, I'm exhausted right now because my daughter was up during the night. And you know what happens? I don't know if, like, for the parents out there, my daughter is in a phase right now where she loves me. Like, she runs up, she gives me hugs, she says hi to me now, it, like, melts your heart. When she's crying in the middle of the night, and my wife is like, can you do this? I'm like, I got it. Go take care of my daughter, it's going to be great. I walk into the room, it's dark. She's standing in the crib, and that's how you know, like, we're in crisis mode, when she's standing. And as soon as she's able to make out, with her sweet little eyes, that it's daddy and not mommy, the real freak out begins. So that was my night and middle of the night. Ended with Texan Seahawks and then went through the night with my daughter rejecting me multiple times when I tried to comfort her in the middle of the night while she was crying. And honestly, I'm not sure which was a less pleasurable experience, given the way Texans Seahawks went for 3 hours last night. So we'll get to the Texans and the Seahawks, Seattle winning that game 27-18, but we got to start with the first game. Way more, even if the second game I actually think might be a little more interesting, we'll start with the first game. Way more far-reaching ramifications on this NFL season. Who can get to the Super Bowl? Who could win the Super Bowl? And who can and can't win MVP? As the Detroit Lions beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Motown 24-9. And this is a sensational statement victory by the Detroit Lions. And not just for the obvious reasons that come to mind. First off, winning in the National Football League is hard. I wouldn't know. I don't play or coach. But that's what everybody says. Winning is really hard in the National Football League. So the fact that they won a game is obviously a really good thing. The fact that they took down another member of the NFC elite that entered last night with a better record than they did, like, this matters. It's a huge win for the Lions. A, because they won a game. B, because they beat a conference opponent. C, because they beat a team that, like, could threaten them for the one seed and home field advantage in the NFC playoffs. So obviously it matters, and it's a big win for all of those reasons. But even more importantly than that, it's such a sensational statement win for the Detroit Lions because of how it happened and who it happened with. At the end of last season, as the Lions complete a magical regular season campaign, right? Sunday Night Football, NBC, Week 18, destroy Sam Darnold and the Vikings to win the NFC North, home field advantage in the NFC playoffs. They went one and done in the postseason. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, divisional round Saturday night, strolled into Motown and dropped 40-plus on that ass and made that defense look silly and sent the Lions home. Detroit, at that point in the calendar, was missing, I don't know, out of 11 defensive starters, 18. All the good players on defense were hurt. And they went out, the Lions did, not with a bang, not with a roar, but with a meek little whimper. And when faced with a similar situation last night, unbelievably big names. Now, Aiden Hutchinson played in the game, and Hutchinson was awesome, as Aiden Hutchinson often is, and made Tristan Wirfs look silly on a couple plays, and I thought that Troy Aikman did a great job. Like, that doesn't happen too often, where Tristan Wirfs is in the spin cycle because of a pass rusher. Aiden Hutchinson was great. The Lions had no players in their secondary. All the starters are out. Brian Branch, suspended. Kirby Joseph, out. Avante Maddox, out. Terrion Arnold, out. DJ Reed, out. And despite all the players out for the Lions on defense, and despite the fact that they were going up against a white-hot, nuclear-level offense, quarterbacked by one of the MVP favorites, who I tried to tell you, like, he's not going to win MVP, and it's not. We'll talk about the Bucs in a minute here. They faced a white hot offense. Emeka Egbuka was announced as playing. We'll talk about Mike Evans and he gets hurt, but going into the game, Mike Evans is healthy, and this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, and they held the Buccaneers offense to 9 points and forced a couple turnovers. And I can't be the only one, the only person that watched the game last night, thinking to myself, as the cameras on ESPN keep showing Kelvin Shepard, Lions defensive coordinator, who not too recently was playing in the NFL, and he's got the Lions t-shirt on, and he's jacked. He looks like he could still go out and play. And he's all tatted up, and he's got that big play sheet, and he's the man, cool as the other side of the pillow. And you can't help but think, if the Jets could do it over, you think they got the wrong Lions defensive assistant? And look, I'm not trying to bury Aaron Glenn here more than we already have on this show, but look at what the Lions defense was last year without all these guys. Look what it was last night without everybody. And how well they played. It was an incredible effort by a bunch of no-names in the Lions secondary. And I could, like, name the guys that played. Like, open up your eager eyes. It's Nick Whiteside. You don't know who these guys are. You have no idea. I could make up names. Like the slot cornerback, Tyler Morales. His twin brother, Corey, at free safety. Arthur Mollett at another corner spot. He's actually real. Did you know that Arthur Mollett's a real person? A bunch of absolute no-names playing for the Lions last night. And not only did they play, but they played, to quote The Miz, awesome. A stellar defensive effort by Detroit. And a stunning defensive effort by the Lions. And that's the type of game where you can look at a team and say, wow, everybody's out on defense. You're playing an awesome offense. You play that well? Hell yeah. We get to January, you're going to earn my trust a little bit, especially when these guys come back. Like, Arnold's not out for the year. Reed's not out for the year. Branch is suspended for a game. He'll be back for the next game. Like, they're going to get healthier. Like, this was like the end of the year for Detroit last year, except A, they won, and B, it's week 8. And everybody's going to come back. And the offense still is what the offense is. And they didn't need to score a million points last night. The Jameson Williams stuff is weird. As someone who has Jameson Williams on a bunch of fantasy teams, I'd like for him to get the ball a couple times. But when Jahmyr Gibbs is playing the way he's playing, in the conversation for best running back in the league, over 100 yards on the ground, 80 yards through the air, I thought he was the best player on the field last night, along with Aiden Hutchinson, for either team. Gibbs was sensational. And ARSB, better known to you and yours as Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6 for 86 and a tutty. It's an embarrassment of riches on this Lions offense. We know the offense has got it going on. It's had it going on for years. That's not a surprise. The surprise to me was this Detroit Lions defense. I'm not shocked that the Lions won. It doesn't stun me that the Lions covered. But how it happened, I am a little bit gobsmacked by it. Incredible job by the Lions defense. And Detroit, a deserved favorite atop the board now to win the National Football Conference, and fills you with way more confidence in them as the season moves along. On the other side, we'll talk about what this loss means for Baker Mayfield and the Bucs and his MVP candidacy, and we'll get into the atrocity that was Seahawks-Texans.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's fourth down and 8. End zone incomplete. And what a job by this Lions defense.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Joe Buck with the call last night, Monday Night Football on ESPN and ABC. Still can't believe the Lions defense balled out like that, holding down Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers offense to just 9 points. So week 7, now in the rearview mirror. And as we, and I, assess the balance of power in the NFC, it's a little tricky. The AFC, not as tricky. The AFC, to me, is like college football right now. Ohio State, draw a line. And then we can have a conversation from there. In the AFC, it's the Kansas City Chiefs and draw a line. The NFC is way more fascinating to try and handicap and figure out. For me, there are four horsemen of the apocalypse in the National Football Conference. They're drawing nearer. On leather steeds they ride, and they've come to take your life. Shout out to all the Metallica fans out there. Those four teams for me, the two NFC North squads, Chicago and Minnesota, just kidding, Detroit and Green Bay, the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, and Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. Conspicuous by their absence, and because it's the four horsemen, it's not the five horsemen. Like when Ric Flair put up the hand gesture, it was four, it was not five. There's only four horsemen. Conspicuous by their absence, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you, our audience, unless this is your first show, thank you very much for tuning in. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. The audience, you know that I felt this way all season long and last week. I don't have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that group of legitimate Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. I don't. And I think the Bucs are going to the playoffs. I think that they are by far the most likely team to win the NFC South. And I know the record's not that much better than Atlanta's, but you can't trust the Falcons on a week-in, week-out basis. Like, at least you, by and large, know what you're getting from Tampa every single week. The Atlanta Falcons could look like the Chiefs one game and the Titans the next. How can you trust a team like that? How can you trust a team that looks awesome on Monday night and beats the Buffalo Bills and then goes on the road at a Niners team down its best new defensive players and they only score 10 points in the game and they look terrible in doing so? I don't trust the Falcons at all. So I think Tampa is going to be a playoff team this year. This is not an anti-Bucs sentiment by me. The main reason why I don't trust Tampa the way I trust Detroit, Green Bay, the Rams, and the Eagles. Baker Mayfield. Baker had a tremendous moment in the sun. Basically, like the first 7 weeks of the season was his moment. And this is not even meant to be anti-Baker. I think Baker's really good. But this idea that Baker Mayfield was going to win MVP was ridiculous. And we said as much on the show. Like, awesome. Tampa entered last night with five wins. One of them was like an actual legitimate, like, no doubt victory. Last week against San Francisco in a game where Fred Warner's lost for the year. And the backup quarterback's playing and there's no wide receivers for San Francisco. And they won by 11. Great. The other four wins are all knife-edge wins that could have easily gone the other way. And that's not to say that Tampa didn't deserve to win those games. But if, like, that's your MO, and, like, that's the way that you're going to play, and it's just going to come down to the end, and you hope that Baker hits a Mekigbuka on, like, a ridiculous post pattern to win the game every single game, like, there are going to be games where it doesn't happen. And they're not going to be the one seed in the NFC because they're not as good as these teams. And if you're not the one seed, your quarterback's not winning MVP. I never felt that Baker was going to win MVP. Never felt it. And I certainly am emboldened in that take after what we saw last night from Baker Mayfield. And let's call a spade a spade. He was terrible last night. Terrible. Regardless of how the Lions' defense played and Aiden Hutchinson treating Tristan Wirfs like a human turnstile, which happened at points last night, regardless of that, Baker Mayfield did not play well. By far, his worst game of the season, one of his worst games in two-plus years quarterback in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was dreadful. There's no way around it. And I'm not here to even hear an argument to the contrary as it concerns Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker is not as bad as he was last night. And to be fair to Baker, Baker's bad is not like Nathan Peterman bad or like Geno Smith bad. It's not that. But it falls short of where people kind of think Baker Mayfield is. I don't think he's on that level. He's not as bad overall as he was last night. By and large, he will be better than that. But my problem with the Bucs is while I acknowledge that Baker's better than he was last night, I also think he's not as good as he was at the beginning of the season. And I can be wrong, and that's what's fun about this, right? You're out there listening. You're out there watching. You're consuming the product. Maybe you think I'm an idiot. And Baker gonna ball out the rest of the year. You may be right. I may be crazy. We'll see. I don't see it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as far as being a Super Bowl contender goes. Upside for this team, the absolute ceiling. And how about this? I actually want everybody to take a beat, including our show crew. I want everybody to answer this question in your heads. What is the ceiling for the 2025 Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The best case scenario, things break their way, injuries are good. What's the best case scenario? My answer, lose on conference championship Sunday. Best case scenario. Best case scenario. Lose on championship Sunday. And more likely, lose in the divisional round. I'm just trying to be fair by saying maybe something weird happens and they make it to the championship game. I don't think they ever make it out of the NFC. Not trying to be a hater. That's my opinion. And I don't think that the Falcons will catch them in the division, so I think they'll host a home playoff game. But man, I don't think they're beating Philly. I don't think they're beating Detroit. I don't think they're beating Green Bay. And I don't think they're beating Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. You better you bet on this Tuesday. The second Monday night game. Man, I wish I could get those 3 hours back. Thinking about the fun things I could have been doing. Like playing Ghost of Yotai on PlayStation 5. Yeah, the game rules. But instead, I'm watching CJ Stroud. Like, do you remember back? Do you remember? Like the quarterback competitions at the old Pro Bowls? And the quarterbacks had to like throw the ball at moving targets and stuff. It was pretty cool, right? They made a video game about Quarterback Club back in the day for like Super Nintendo. CJ Stroud last night. This was like Quarterback Club. This was like a mini game at the Pro Bowl or like a Madden mini game where your job was not to hit the target, but to miss it in every conceivable way. Lawn dart thrown at the receiver's feet? Check. Miss to the left? Check. Miss to the right? Check. Miss high? Check. Miss high center? Check. Miss high left, check. Miss high right, check. Throw the ball to the other team, check. Fumble the ball, check. Nearly take a safety, check. You got the full bingo card last night from CJ Stroud. Terrible, terrible football game. And while I felt compelled to start the Lions-Bucks breakdown with the winner, with the Detroit Lions, we absolutely need to discuss here the loser of last night's game first in the Houston Texans as Seattle wins 27-18. I said yesterday in the final hour of the show, when we're breaking down the game, we're handicapping the games, right? And kind of like what's at stake for both teams. And the reason why I liked Seattle, and look, it's not like I put $1 billion on it. Like I won some money on it. It's not like I felt that strongly in it that I put the mortgage on it. But I like Seattle in the game. What I said was, okay, Texans, 2-game winning streak. Who would they beat? The injury-depleted Ravens, who, you may remember, I said going into that game, were the worst team in the NFL. with every single good player on the roster basically not playing and Cooper Rush starting at quarterback. So great. They beat the Tennessee Titans, and then they beat the actual Tennessee Titans the next week to get to win two straight games going into the bye. I was like, oh, well, the Texans have turned it around. Did they? Or is there... I'm going to say something strong here, and I want anyone to dispute it. And I guess the way you could dispute it would be like the Raiders, and there's a case to be made there, to be fair. Name a worse offensive line in the NFL than the Texans. The only one that you could say with a straight face is the Raiders. That's it. And honestly, I think the Texans' offensive line is worse. Tell me where outside of Nico Collins, where is the juice coming from anyone in the skill position group? When your most effective play all night are dump-offs, the Dalton Schultz. And by the way, like, the Cowboys lose Dalton Schultz, and Jake Ferguson steps in, and Ferguson's 10 times better than Dalton Schultz ever was. Just like, hilarious. Let's sign this guy to a deal. And Jake Ferguson's 10 times better. Where's the juice coming from in this Texans receiving group or running back room? Where's it coming from? Remember what we said over the summer, talking about the Texans. Favored to win the AFC South. Now, I backed the wrong horse, it looks like. I backed Jacksonville. Probably should have backed the Indianapolis Colts. But the crux of the handicap for Jacksonville wasn't even that I loved the Jaguars. It's that I hated the Houston Texans. No weapons on offense outside of Nico Collins. And maybe the worst offensive line in the league. Like, the offensive line last year might have been the worst offensive line in the league. And their response to that was to get rid of the good players on the offensive line and sign up and sign all new and draft all new players. What a surprise. It's worse. It's worse. The thing that is genuinely surprising, though, about the Texans' offense, which I thought would be bad, you would have no idea they changed offensive coordinators. From the clueless, hapless, overmatched Bobby Slowick to a guy who is a disgrace to my first name, Nick Cayley. This is like Usher says in Confessions Part 1. Everything that they are doing is all bad. Everything's bad. All of it. They can't run block. They can't pass block. The play caller stinks. They can't run, and they can't throw. Other than that, yeah, they're the greatest show on turf. And the part of this that's truly mind-numbing, do the Texans have the best defense in the league? And if it's not the best, top three? Top five, top five, top five? And they can do nothing on offense when you have a defense that good. They can't even be on offense. Think about how good that defense is. If I told you that the offense was going to be below average this year, 20 out of 32, they're winning 9 or 10 games. Right? With the defense being that good. This Texans offense is a disgrace. It's not fun to, like, the Raiders you can watch and you can, like, laugh at them a little bit. Like, the Texans, like, you're not laughing. You're crying. It's horrible. And the quarterback looks like he's regressing. And that is a huge topic for conversation. It's like the chicken or the egg. Is it that the line stinks and the play calling stinks and the weapons stink? Or is it that the quarterback is actually not that good? We'll talk about it on the other side. We will praise the Seattle Seahawks. And Femi will join me for a postmortem of our Seattle Mariners.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The way the offense is playing in this environment could be trouble. And right for the end zone and scoring and dunking is Jackson Smith and Jigba. Darnold strikes to JSN.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Chris Fowler, of the show and a Tim Scandlin client, with the call last night on ESPN. Jackson Smith and Jigba, receiving yards prop in the high 80s against the Texans defense. As it turns out, way too low. Best receiver in the league? He's in the conversation. We'll get back to the Seahawks and the Texans in a second, but we have a couple of breaking news items in the NFL. We'll get to the New York Jets quarterback situation next hour because it'll demand a little bit more time. It looks like the Jets will make the switch to Tyrod Taylor ahead of their next game. So we'll talk about that next hour. They'll be on the road in Cincinnati against the Bengals. But a tweet has just hashtag crossed the wire, a.k.a. we have notifications turned on our phones, from Russell Wilson, Giants backup quarterback. So the context for this is, after the Broncos beat the Giants on Sunday in ridiculous fashion, Sean Payton is praising Jackson Dart and can't resist taking a not-so-subtle jab at his former quarterback in Denver, Russell Wilson, saying that basically it was his hope that the Giants would have waited until after this game to play Jackson Dart. They would have rather faced Russell Wilson. Which Sean Payton obviously doesn't have to say that, but we all know he can't help himself. Russell Wilson tweeting moments ago, and I quote, "Classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media." Russell Wilson might be a massive cornball, and he obviously is. And you can question the authenticity of his public persona, no question about it, but that is as good a response as you will ever get. I'm curious as to, like, what percent of the audience now, because Bounty Gate was a while ago, like, what percent of the audience now is, like even remembers that that happened, that Bounty Gate was actually a thing, and all the rumors that of what was actually happening with the New Orleans Saints, and I have no idea if any of it's true or not, but it's all just very interesting, like the Russell Wilson clapback of Sean Payton. Sean Payton doesn't need to keep taking shots at Russell Wilson, so I like Russ firing back a little bit. Back to the Texans and the Seahawks. So, Houston's offense is horrendous. The defense is actually great. I think they're done. This Sunday's game, they might be able to win. They're a one-point favorite at home against the San Francisco 49ers. And the Niners don't really have much of a pass rush to speak of. And Bryce Huff's going to be out for this game. So maybe this is a game where Stroud could actually have some time to throw. I'm not going to say that I'm definitely taking San Francisco in the game. I don't think I'd bet Houston. Just that, like, this actually presents on paper as a game where the Texans might be able to at least move the football a little bit on offense. But as far as the season goes, like, they're toast. Like, it can't get better. And Nico Collins got concussed. You would need the offensive linemen to all of a sudden all get good, and for Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel to both turn into studs. And if that happens, and the play caller gets better, maybe you've got a chance. I think they are finished. No division championship, no playoffs this year for the Texans. And the conversation that we'll be having this offseason, because the Texans are going to have a decision to make on C.J. Stroud. This is his third year. This will be the first year that they miss the playoffs. And this year is not going to go well, I think, rest of season. They're going to give him a huge deal after the year. It's a conversation for months from now, but I'm just trying to plant the seed and get ahead of it right now. Very quickly on the Seahawks, and then we'll talk about the ALCS. Last night's game felt to me like at halftime, Mike McDonald and Clint Kubiak and the rest of the coaches, they all like told the players, like, hey guys, be right back. And went and like passed a joint around and got rip roaring high and just had a big old laugh about the Houston Texans offense, and said to each other, in between bites of whatever they got out there at halftime, orange slices, I don't know, potato chips, whatever, granola bars, Coca-Cola, ginger ale, maybe even a little water. How much do you think we can screw around and still win this game? And win comfortably. Oh, we're going to be up at the end and just run the clock out? No, let's just tuck the ball 50 yards down the field on every play. Oh, if we just, we could punt on every first down for the entire game and still win? No, let's drop Sam Darnold back into the end zone. He's under pressure, does the Sam Darnold thing, and the Texans recover the fumble in the end zone for a touchdown. The Seahawks were like desperately trying, like daring the Texans to make this a game. And the Texans couldn't do it. Seattle wins and improves to 5-2. The one thing that could give you a little bit of pause with Seattle, and I think the Seahawks are a playoff team, and I said that after they beat the Cardinals on Thursday night back in week 3. I think the Seahawks are a playoff team. But the one thing that gives you pause is when Sam Darnold is under like actual duress, he still like loses his mind sometimes. Like that fumble in the end zone was really bad. Like, you just got to get rid of the ball. Throw it away. Held on to it too long, fumbles in the end zone, touchdown for the other team. Like, you can get away with that when you're playing an offense that couldn't score if you gave them 12 quarters, much less 4. You're not getting away with that against the Rams. You're not getting away with it against the Packers, the Lions, the Eagles, the elite in the NFC. Hell, they're not going to get away with that against San Francisco. They won't get away with that against the Bears, against Minnesota, against Tampa, against Atlanta, against the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, maybe not even against the Cowboys. Got to clean that up. But other than that, Seattle wins 5-2, and I think the Seahawks are playoff bound. You bet on this Tuesday. Celebrity Seattle sports fan. I guess that's not true, just a Mariners fan. Celebrity Mariners fan, Febby Abebefe with me. Femi, it was sad scenes last night north of the border when Bizardo came into the game instead of Munoz for Seattle. Yada, yada, yada. Springer dinger, 3-run shot, 4-3 Blue Jays. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is that my worst fears came true. And we talked about it. You gauged my level of confidence when it was 2-2. And I said, my fear is that the Seattle Mariners are going to choke. And you see Suarez, game 5, and that was awesome. Grand slam. They lose game 6. And game 7, I woke up optimistic. I felt good. This was Seattle's night for baseball to be the final team of this 30-team puzzle to make the World Series. Because the other 29 teams have made it, the Seattle Mariners have not. And with 8 outs to go, they blew it. They absolutely choked. And it's disgusting, and I'm still not over it. This morning I woke up and just was like kind of like in a malaise. Like seriously, it's like the game takes place, And I'm sweating Seahawks minus three, but like the Seahawks are in control of the game. I still don't feel a thing. I'm just like, okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we're going to win money. Great. This is fun, I guess. But I can't stop thinking about the Mariners game. And they were so damn close as they've ever been to winning the pennant, eight outs away. Just put seven. Munoz in the game. Put him in the game. Put Munoz in, because what pisses me off so much about this, and it's one thing that pisses me off about sports, is like, if you're going to go down swinging with your best stuff. And they didn't do that. Dan Wilson said, well, you know, like, what about the eighth inning? What about the ninth inning? What about the seventh inning with runners on second and third, and there's only one out? What about that inning? Because there's no and eighth George or Springer ninth if you up. Can't get past top of the order. Springer's been killing you. He's been killing you all series long. Throw your best stuff. Throw Munoz. And if Munoz gets out of the jam, throw him back out there in the eighth. And if he gets out of that, I don't know, throw Castillo in the ninth. It's all hands on deck. At least that's what they were telling us. It's game seven. Yeah, everyone's available. All hands on deck. Outside of like Logan Gilbert, pretty much. All hands on deck. And then you're saving this guy for a situation that never came up because Bizzardo was never going to get it done. Like, I texted Tyler. Like, I was like, dude, this is going to be an adventure with Bizzardo. And then two pitches later, see you later, game is now done. And at that point, the Mariners are shell-shocked. They're wondering, we were up in control, eight outs away from the World Series, and now we're trailing by one. Like, the whole thing is gross, and it will go down as one of the big choke jobs after being up 2-0 in Toronto, up 3-2, going back to Toronto for game 6 and 7, where you'd already won twice earlier in the series, and up 3-1 in game 7, and not being able to close the deal. It's a bad day. It's a bad day for the Pacific Northwest, and it's a sad day for Seattle baseball, because this team that is beloved by the fan base, they seem to can't get it done in the biggest of moments, and it's rather unfortunate. But that's how I feel today. It sucks, to sum it up.
Well, the Seahawks won at least for the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Like, I'm sure all my friends that root for the Seahawks are happy. Yeah.
I mean, that did happen. And like you have this weird phenomenon, and like the Yankees do it all the time, where like you're in a critical game, and you actually saw it in the final game against the Blue Jays in game 4 against Toronto, where you could be up in the game or whatever, and once the other team has their moment and takes the lead, it's like they just go up to the plate, they're hacking at the first pitch, it's terrible at bats, they're grounding out to the shortstop or the second baseman, they're striking out on balls 10 feet outside the plate. And I said this to you guys off air, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually think like Rob Manfred has done a nice job as Major League Baseball commissioner with the changes implemented to the sport. Like, the pitch clock's awesome. Like, ABS coming next year. Like, Rob Manfred's been pretty good. And I never thought I would say that. The next thing that Rob Manfred has to do is, like, put the thumb on the scale a little bit. Like, we need collectively, as bettors, as sports fans, like, Julio Rodriguez has got to get to first base. And for the Blue Jays fans listening and watching, like, I'm half kidding. Like, obviously, like, this can't, like, you can't do stuff like this, but it would have been fun, right? Where Cal Raleigh, most home runs in the history of the American League, including playoffs, 65 to Aaron Judge's 64 a couple years ago. Imagine if Julio gets on base, he strikes out with nobody on in the ninth on the 3-2 pitch from Hoffman 10 feet outside. Where if Julio gets on, even if Cal Raleigh pops out to the catcher on the first pitch, right? How electric would that have been as Cal Raleigh, 60 homers, steps into the batter's box where one swing takes the lead in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series? Opportunity missed by Major League Baseball.
That, I mean, you're asking for Rob Manfred to turn into Vince McMahon. Yes. I mean, like, yeah, for entertainment purposes, would have been phenomenal. Yeah, we all saw Game 6 of the 2002 Western Conference Finals. We all saw that. But, like, yeah, it's depressing. Is a great way to describe it. Tell me one word, depressing, because it feels like they should have made it, and they let it go.
That was 2001, and if Vlade Divac doesn't knock the ball out to Robert Horry, we don't have to worry about Game 7. Hour 1 done, Hour 2 for you coming up on the other side. Mark Schlereth kicks it off right after this.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.